Anyway, if you have your Bibles, please join me in Matthew. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. I don't know if y'all have seen this. Recent scientific studies. The shroud has now, some 20 years after, scientists have now examined this, and new data is being revealed. And the data suggests that this is a Roman execution, and it was at the time of Christ. And now they are searching for DNA. It would be very interesting if it came up that Jesus was a universal donor. That would be awesome. I want to talk today. And just, I want you to realize something. There were over 520 witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are the only religion in the world, the only religion in the world out of all the religions that exist. We are the only religion that worships a risen Savior. All the other religions do not have that. So that would seem to suggest that the Christian message is unique. But beyond that, for those of us here today that believe that Jesus rose from the dead, it is not just unique, it is the truth. So when we think about Easter, and I thought about this, a couple of pastors that I've talked with, they're kind of going the route that I'm going this morning. You know, we make choices. We make choices in life. Some of those choices are easy. What we're going to have for dinner. It could be easy, depending on what everybody wants. But choosing clothes to wear, eating out, those types of things. And some are hard. Some choices are hard. Like what you will do with the rest of your life when you graduate high school. Getting married, who you will marry, what that person will be, what kind of person you should look for. Buying a house is a major event. And making medical decisions. All of these things are very important. So we make easy decisions and we make hard decisions. We make sometimes good choices and sometimes bad choices. What I want to talk to you today is about Heaven's gate, or the Lord's gate. The resurrection has happened. He has risen. He has risen indeed. But the issue now comes whether you believe it or not. Easter is about the resurrection of Christ, but more than that, if Christ has risen, which he has, and he is now reigning at the right hand of the Father, you have a decision to make. I have a decision to make. Are we going to believe it or are we going to reject it? Now, my outline is on the back here for those of you that like to fill in the blanks. And I'm going to look at two roads that you can take this morning. Yes, and Easter magnifies this choice. Because without the resurrection, there is no salvation. And your faith is in vain. But today we worship the risen Savior, and therefore Christ is the Savior of the world, and that leads us to a very important decision. It's a decision that you will make whether you choose to not make it or not. I'll wait and see is a no. And there is what's called a day of dispensational grace, and that grace ends when you pass from this life to the next. For the believer, there is definitely the hope beyond the grave, which we worship this morning. So I want to look at, first of all, a wide gate. It's a very wide gate. And everybody is on it. Paul says in Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That's us. That's everybody. Everybody that's born, Adam sinned, Eve sinned, and therefore sin passed to all men, and all men died because of sin. Now, notice we're picking it up here in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus gives a command, enter by the narrow gate. Askeromai. Askeromai means to move in a position. And the next word is narrow, stenos, a restricted area. Back when I was in the Army and I was a communications sergeant, and we had the opportunity one time, I found myself in Seoul, Korea. And this is an extremely restricted area. We stayed at the Seoul Garden Hotel, several of us. I had a top secret clearance at that time. I'm not going to get into what we did. But when we got on the bus in the morning, they drew the curtains, and we left Seoul for about a 45-minute bus ride. When we bus stopped and we got out, there was a massive underground tunnel. It was a top secret clearance. We were visited that week by the president of South Korea. So restricted was this area that when the president came in, even though we were U.S. Army, we had to put our hands on the desk, turn our head to the side, and not look at the president of South Korea when he came in. Because I was in the nerve center where we were doing stuff with the space shuttle. And so the very restricted area. The issue here is that this road, if you enter by the narrow gate, it's very restricted. You do not get to heaven by attending church. You do not get to heaven by being baptized. You do not get to heaven by helping people across the street. You do not get to heaven by anything else other than Jesus Christ. And that is the restriction, and that's what the world does not like. They do not like the restricted, because when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me, that's narrow. Well, wait a minute. What if I'm a good person? That's great. We have a lot of good people right here in Tolono and Sidoras and Philo. We have good people, but that's not the issue. The issue is, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? This is very narrow. The gate, kule, is the gate. That means it's closed. It's a closed off entryway except to those who have exclusive access to it. So when you trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, guess what? You're on the narrow path. The resurrection gives us the power to live out that walk and gives us the ability. We cannot do this on our own, folks. We need the power of the resurrection and Jesus Christ from the dead. I want to give some thoughts here. First of all, when we talk about this narrow way, I want this to be very clear, very clear. The first is we have a free will choice. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. That's open to anybody. You have a free choice. If you have not trusted in Christ, I'm not talking about, do you go to church? Have you been baptized? Are you in Sunday school? Are you active in the church? I'm talking about, have you had an encounter with Jesus Christ? Yes, you should go to church. Because this is where we build each other up, and this is our locker room before we go back out into a world that just loves us. They don't love us. It is a free will choice. You can choose whether to receive or reject. If you reject, you're on the broad road. If you receive, you're on the narrow road. Secondly, it's open to everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance, 2 Peter 3:9. God will take you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm so far gone. God could never reach down. Listen, it does not matter where you are, no matter how low you are, no matter how broken you are, no matter how beaten you are by the world and the troubles, and how much sin you've ever committed. That's not the issue. The issue is God will take you. He will take you. Because it's not you that cleans up. It's Christ that cleans you up by the shedding of his blood on the cross on Good Friday, and he was buried, and he rose again, and we have victory. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, you belong to the children of God. And it is open to all. You don't have no social status, economic status. None of that matters. What matters is the cross. I think Easter is a perfect time to preach salvation. One of the major times. A third thing I would like to note is it requires action. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That is it. This word saved, sozo, which means to rescue. To deliver, like a fireman. It's exactly what the word means. Saved, to rescue from fire. What fire? I'm going to tell you something that's not often preached from the pulpit, but there is a literal hell, and there are people that are going there, not because God wants them to go there, but because they go there by their own choice and their own rejection. And I could tell you some stories, and I don't have time for that because we have the Lord's Supper. But I have met people on their deathbed that had rejected, and on that deathbed, they said, "Pastor, I need to be saved." And I led them in the sinner's prayer, and guess what? They're just as saved as me who have been serving Jesus for 35, 36 years. They're just as saved. The issue is faith, to trust in Christ. That's the issue, to trust in Jesus, in everything that Jesus is and was. Jesus lived this sinless life, and he went to the cross, and he died on that cross. Now, the reason that Jesus said, enter the narrow gate, the restricted way, the exclusive club membership. Many of you know that I'm a member of the Champaign-Urbana Astronomical Society. It's an elite group. No, it's not really. But it's restricted. Only members can vote. And Jesus says, look, the reason, there it is by magic of PowerPoint, the reason, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. Wide pertaining to a broad road. The way hodos, which is a street or a path, more literally a path. So how do you get on the broad road? Well, I can tell you this right now. If you're outside of Christ, you're on the broad road. You're not on the exclusive road. That gets me in trouble a lot. Because the Christian message is you have to be on that narrow road. Oprah Winfrey is wrong saying all roads lead to heaven. No, they do not. All roads do not lead to heaven. The only road that leads to heaven is through Jesus Christ and him alone. And that's it. I know there's a lot of good people, and I want them to come to know saving faith in Christ. And this way is also easy. John Stott, in his commentary, wrote this: the gate leading the easy way is wide, for it is simple matter to get on the easy road. There is no limit. I love this part. There is no limit to the luggage we can take with us. Take it all. We need leave nothing behind, not even our sins, self-righteousness, or pride. You can bring all that with you. In fact, you do bring all that with you. Think about it this way. I don't know how in the world lost people make it through this life. Do you know life's hard? And I've seen believers do amazing things and overcome amazing obstacles and difficulties and hardships in life. Where does that come from? It comes from the power of the resurrection and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that give us the power to keep moving forward and keep going. And I've witnessed Christians that have gone through horrific things. And I look at them and I go, I can't believe you're still standing. They're still standing because they tell me, Jesus lives in me and gives me the power And this road, the wide road, leads to destruction. And actually, this word agapago, to leads, refers to leading away. Now, this is critical here. So when you're born and you grow up and you haven't trusted in Christ, you're already on the broad road. This road will eventually lead to ruin. That's the Greek word there for destruction. And I love this next picture. These two roads, one road leads up, metaphorically, one road leads down. I'm going to tell you, as God's messenger this morning, those are the only two roads. That's it. And what a great day to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior on Easter. The acknowledgement of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to give him the glory and the honor and the praise. That's the wide gate. The wide gate, summation, the wide gate is anybody who is not on the narrow road. The narrow road is an exclusive club for those, I don't want to say club, but exclusive group for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Guess what? You don't have to be a Southern Baptist to be saved. In fact, I'm a Christian first. But you do need to be saved, and you need to have Christ in your heart. Now, the wide road, the wide gate, leads to destruction. The narrow gate leads to life. 7:14. For the gate is narrow. Now notice this, please. For the gate is narrow, restricted, and the road and the way is hard. Oh, wait a minute. So the wide road is easy. You don't have to do anything. You're on the road already. The narrow road is difficult and hard. And it's getting harder and harder in the culture in which we live today. Y'all do know that, right? It's really, really bad. If you claim the name of Jesus, we have a difficulty. So this path is not, this path is not easy. The day that you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I remember October 12th, 1981, when the Army chaplain led me to saving faith. I don't have any problems telling you all this. It was out at Fort Sam Houston, San Antonio, Texas. He took me to an old chapel that was used when soldiers went to the field, and he shared with me the gospel story. And I trusted in Christ. Now, see, I had been a big partier, going out with my friends on Fridays and Saturday nights and hanging out in the clubs. So after I get saved, guess where I go? I go back to my friends and say, guess what? And they were like, what? I said, I trusted in Christ. And they looked at me like, are you feeling okay? Huge, huge change. Listen, you are not too far gone that God can't save you. No one. If the Apostle Paul, who was killing Christians, can be saved and be a mouthpiece for God, we're good. God will take anyone who is just willing to trust in him and put their faith in him. So this way is hard. It's a difficult road. Yes, we celebrate Easter this morning and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But after that, we leave here, and I hope you all have a great Easter. I made my first turkey yesterday, full turkey, thanks to Linda Long and the bag, and I got that all taken care of. So I hope you have a wonderful Easter with your family. But Monday, when you go to your workplace, you start talking about Jesus, you'll find out how hard the road gets. And it's not an easy road. Just ask Jesus. He was the Son of God. Charles Spurgeon, Whatever our difficulties, trials, and sorrows, all is well with us if God is our delight and His presence our joy. See, this is the issue. Yes, the narrow way is difficult. Yes, it is hard. But folks, I'm so thankful that I have the power of the Holy Spirit living in me to help me navigate this. And when I don't feel like going on anymore, God encourages me to keep going. It is a difficult road. And I know many of you have faced difficult situations and circumstances. And some are even now experiencing. Matthew 16:24, Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That doesn't sound easy. That sounds difficult. Think of it this way. If you trust in Christ and everything's easy, and you never experience difficulties and hardships, you'll not understand the fullness of the gospel of what Jesus went through. So when Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me, he was saying, come join me on this journey where I will give you the power to overcome your difficulties and hardships. But I want you to look at how I lived and live the same way. And that means difficulties and hardships. But thank goodness. And let me give you one more scripture here. 2 Timothy 3:12-13. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted. Mark it down. Highlight it. I've seen Christians get fired because of their faith. They've lost their jobs. And depending on where you work and the political climate, you could lose your job just for mentioning the name of Jesus. While evil men and imposters go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. That doesn't sound easy to me. It's not an attractive way. It doesn't seem attractive, but it is very attractive because when the world comes against us, we know it's not because of us, it's because of Him. And in the midst of hardships and trials is where faith is formed and strengthened. So, this word hard, phlebo, to cause someone to be suffered or troubling or going through hardships. That's what that word hard means. I guess one of the obstacles to the gospel is people don't like to be told that they're sinners. My grandparents talked about this a lot. I just thought they were old and didn't know anything. But then later, I come to realize that what my grandparents were telling me was true. And when the day that I trusted Christ, it came full circle. I want everybody in here to know Jesus. Not, I'm going to go to church and feel good. That's fine. But I want you to be saved. I want you to know Christ. And to know the power of His resurrection in your heart. Now, the way is difficult. It's hard. And thank goodness we have the Holy Spirit in us with the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's also a reward. And the way is hard that leads to life. Zoe. That means to be alive. If you're outside of Christ this morning, even though you live, you are spiritually dead. To be alive here in this Greek word, it means to have new life, to be alive for the first time in your life, to experience salvation, and to have this unshakable knowledge that you have been saved by the blood of Christ, you are on your way to heaven, and you're alive. And the Greek is specific here, not only now, but then. Listen, when a born-again believer breathes their last breath in this life, they breathe their first breath spiritually in the kingdom of God with Jesus. Many of us have lost loved ones. None of us are immune to that. And someday, unless Jesus comes back, which he can come back at any time if he wants, because of this world, we will all face the final chapter. Back last June, we went to visit my mother-in-law in Texas. And she said something rather profound. She's a born-again believer, been a believer for many, many, many years. And she said something profound. She said, I can do a lot of things with the help of other people, but I can't cross the finish line with other people. I do it by myself. And that's true. What you believe in your last time is where your faith really is. And it's difficult. It's difficult to lose people. I understand that. But the good news is that my mother-in-law is very, very, very much alive and worshiping and praising God. My sister-in-law is very much alive. Your brothers, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins that have trusted in Christ, they are very much alive. We look at it from this side of the fence. Richard, very much alive. What a day, right? What a moment that was. Just a wonderful moment. God was in that room. God was in that room. The reward is this. It leads to life. And again, Jesus goes back to the restriction, and those who find it are few. This word find means to learn the whereabouts of something. R.T. France, one of my favorite theologians, said this, true discipleship is a minority religion. Listen, if you've trusted in Christ, let me encourage you. I know I said salvation's not about church attendance, not about Sunday school, not about baptism. Those things are great and wonderful. But let me encourage you today on Easter Sunday to recommit your life to Christ and say, you know what, Lord, I know I'm on the narrow way. I haven't always done it right. I'm there with you. I haven't always done it right either, folks. And for some reason, God called me to preach. Maybe today, make this Resurrection Sunday in your heart again. Not that you get saved again, but that you revisit the power of the resurrection and know that you are on this exclusive road and that God will walk with you through the trials and storms of this life. And I can tell you honestly and with full assurance that when you pass, you will go to be in the presence of God and to see the author of your faith face to face. I don't know where you are. Do you know Christ? I wrote these stats down. 44% of Americans have no idea where they will go when they die. That seems rather high to me, but Barna doesn't usually make bad mistakes. 44% of Americans have no idea where they're going to go when they die. We got to get out there, folks. We got to tell people about Jesus. We have to share the gospel with them in love, always in love. It does call us to tell others. The road is fraught with difficulty, but you have a power in you called the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You have a body of believers right here that are willing to encourage you to move forward in your